Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Man, it's good. Are you ready for the word tonight? Awesome. Come on. Thank you, Pastor Raph, for the opportunity to preach and share the gospel tonight. I'm super excited. If you have a Bible, open it to Revelations chapter... Hey, look at this. Open to Revelations, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Revelations, at the back of the Bible. I tried to open to Revelations earlier, and because I've got a like slimline Bible, I opened to the Concordance, and it was under the word belly. Belly. So turn to the book of belly with me tonight. Revelations chapter 12, it is. Revelations chapter 12. All right. We'll get into it in just a moment, but I want to share this with you. Tonight, I felt the Lord invite us to talk about living in the power of His blood. Living in the power of His blood. How many people know that we're not just called to hear the gospel, get saved, be forgiven of our sin, and then move on and wait until we get to heaven when we die? How many people know that the life that God has for you is so much more than just hearing the gospel, being forgiven of our sin, and then waiting to get to heaven when we die? I meet some people and they get bored when you talk about the gospel because they thought they could move on to other things. Can I tell you, there's nothing greater to move on to except the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's like the prophetic things are amazing. I love them. And kingdom mysteries are wonderful. I love them. But the foundation that everything is built upon is the cross of Jesus Christ. If you tried to build your lives on prophetic words, they would surely crumble. If you try to build your life on an amazing teaching from a pastor, it will surely crumble. But if your life is anchored in the cornerstone of Calvary, you will never be shaken. The cross is not something we experience and move on. It is our foundation. It is our cornerstone. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am unashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Do you know, you don't need wise words to or eloquence of speech to try and share the saving message of Jesus Christ with somebody. The story doesn't need you to pretty it up. It's not like sparkling water that needs bubbles in it for it to be a little bit more fun. The gospel doesn't need bubbles. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The same blood that He shed on the cross can heal a headache and can heal cancer. The same blood that was shed on the cross can heal a sinner and can heal a drug addict and transform them into a powerful evangelist and send them in the world to raid hell and populate heaven. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that our life needs to be anchored on. What is the blood of Jesus? The blood of Jesus is not just a metaphorical term. It's not just a comforting idea. The blood of Jesus is not just the blood of a man. It is the blood of God in the flesh. It is the blood of the only man to live and not sin. It is the most loving man in all the universe. It's His blood, the blood of Jesus. It's not just something we remember in the past and one day dried up. The blood of Jesus is a literal substance that was shed from His body as Jesus gave His life as a pure and sinless sacrifice on the cross 2,000 years ago. It is both physical and spiritual. It is a living power that is capable of transforming everything it touches. It is received and applied spiritually to our lives through faith in His death and resurrection. And its divine power removes the stain of sin, sets us free, transforms us into a new creation, and makes us holy, protects us from the power of death and evil. This is the blood of Jesus. Revelation chapter 12. Are you there? Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 to 11 says this. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. Who believes there's power in the blood of Jesus? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love or cling to their own lives even when faced with death. How does the blood of Jesus empower us to overcome the enemy? Verse 10 shares that the enemy is called the accuser. The accuser. He accuses the people of God. He calls out their faults, all of their sins, and reminds them of how weak they are. He does this by trying to invade the thoughts of believers with shame and fear, guilt and condemnation. And sometimes he even uses other people as vessels to bring that shame, guilt and condemnation. That's why we need to be so careful how we speak about another brother or sister in Christ. Because if you start gossiping about their faults and their flaws, you could be setting yourself up to be a vessel of Satan, an accuser of the brethren. That's why it's so important we be careful the way we speak about one another. Because the accuser was cast down, but the sons of God are lifted up. And so we're not people who cast down, we're people who build up. Amen. The blood of Jesus gives us victory over the accusing words of the enemy. The first thing I want to share with you tonight is how the power of the blood of Jesus, it has the power to cleanse us from all sin. From all sin. The blood of Jesus is the most powerful stain remover in all the universe. There is nothing like it. My grandmother, she used to soak my white clothes. If I got a stain, I spilled a coffee on my shirt at church, I would send it to my grandmother. She would be washing it for days. It'd be soaking. She'd be spraying nappy sand on. I don't know why you'd spray something nappy. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But she would soak that thing and try and get that stain out. And there were some times she couldn't get the stain out. But let me tell you, the blood of Jesus can get every single stain out of your life that the sin has left a result, or sin has left an impact, or where sin has opened up wounds inside your heart. The blood of Jesus is powerful enough to remove every single stain from your soul. When God speaks to you about sin, he doesn't speak like the enemy does. He doesn't condemn you. And he doesn't have you feeling powerless and weak. The devil speaks condemnation. Condemnation leads you into despair with no way out. But the conviction of the Holy Spirit leads you into freedom. When God wants to address sin in your life, he will make you aware of it, but empower you to live free from it. You can't clean yourself up before you come to God. You must come to God, even as a mess, and he will clean you up. But when God sees sin in your life, he does not hold it over you in oppression. He pulls it out of you and fills you with his Spirit. This is the difference between condemnation and conviction. The Holy Spirit will convict you and set you free. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says this, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The enemy fears this truth the most, and that is why he attacks the teaching on forgiveness so much. That is why he attacks your faith around if you've truly been forgiven so much, because he fears the reality of a son or a daughter of God who would know they are truly forgiven, who would know they are truly cleansed by the blood of Jesus and have access to the presence of God. If the enemy can get you to believe that lie, that you are not completely forgiven, he will keep you sin conscious. That means focused on sin instead of focused on Jesus. If the enemy can keep you sin conscious, he will be able to keep you defeated, keep you condemned, and shameful and in a cycle that never ends. But when you have a beautiful revelation of the power of the blood of Jesus, you can stand in the face of the enemy and tell him, you have no access to my life. You have no right to my thoughts. I am not a sinner. I'm now a son or a daughter of God, washed by the blood of Jesus. We must not be persuaded by a lie that is circling our world that says that Jesus was just a man, or Jesus was just a prophet, or I love Jesus, I'm a Christian, but I only believe that he was just a man. I've heard people say things like this. I've gone to minister on the street and share the gospel with people, and I say, do you know Jesus? They say, oh yeah, I love Jesus. I said, do you believe he was the Son of God and died for the forgiveness of your sins and rose again? Look, I believe it was great what he taught, but I don't fully believe that. But can I tell you, friends, the power of the blood of Jesus is not just powerful because he was a good man. It's not just powerful because he was a good man. We must believe he was God in the flesh or we cannot be saved. He was God that became human to reach us. And from that, he holds the title Son of God, or God the Son. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all powerfully equally God. The Bible teaches us that Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. Colossians 1 says that Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. Hebrews 1:3 says that the Son is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. The lie that says Jesus was a mere mortal or just a human would mean that his blood has no power to cleanse us from sin. If he was just a good man or just a prophet, then his blood cannot cleanse us at all. But it was the blood of God in the flesh that dripped down that cross. It was a blood that is incorruptible. It is a blood that is still spiritually moving and washing us today. It is a blood that is not dried up on the ground, but is still dripping down from heaven and washing my life and maybe touching yours. It's a blood that is powerful enough to transform anything it touches. It is the blood, the love blood of God himself for us. There's something about recognizing when we talk about the blood of Jesus. Sometimes we can talk about it like it's a separate thing, but there's such a personal revelation when we come to grips and faith that it was actually his blood. His blood. Like, just get this with me for a second. It's his blood that flowed from his heart. Like it's his. We sing that song often in church, and we sing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But it hit me different one morning earlier this year, and we were singing that song, and I'm worshiping, and I just see it like dripping off his hands, his blood. And I see it dripping down onto my heart from his heart. And something was happening to me, and I loved the words of that song, but I sang it differently that day, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And I said, what could wash away my sin? Nothing but your blood, Jesus. Like, it's his blood. Nothing but your blood. Oh, Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but your blood, Jesus. Sometimes I wonder if we get complacent with the reality of the power of the blood that still flows. It's his blood. It's his blood. It's not mine. It's not my works that save me. It's not my good deeds that save me. It's not how long I read the Bible or how long I pray in the morning. It's only his blood. I can pray and tithe and fast as long as I want, but it can't remove the stain of sin. It had to be his blood. It had to flow from his heart. It's not my pastor's blood. I would be eternally grateful if a pastor or a man or woman of God laid down their life for me. But nothing compared to the sacrifice. Nothing can compare to the sacrifice of God himself, humbling himself to become like one of us. He was glorious in heaven. The angels worshipped him and he chose to become a simple human, to live as an example for us to follow. And his blood that was spilt on the cross is the only thing that can fully make me clean. If you want to be reinvigorated in the joy of your salvation, if your faith and your Christianity and your life has become dry, maybe it's because you've forgotten how sweet and how glorious and how wonderful the blood of Jesus is. It is his blood. It is his blood. One of the deepest desires on the heart of God is to be with you. And we know that because of the blood of the Lamb. In the Old Testament, the priests could only enter into the Holy of Holies where the presence of God dwelt. They could only enter in once a year on the Day of Atonement. And that was only the selected priests by God. If anyone else chose to walk in there at any other time into the hot spot of the presence of God, they would surely die because of the intensity of the glory of God. And there was a veil separating that deep place of the presence of God from the rest of the temple. Mark chapter 15 says this, as Jesus hung there on the cross, the physical curtain veil in the temple of Jerusalem was torn in two from top to bottom. And if the earthly reveals the pattern for the heavenly, then as the veil in Jerusalem was torn in two, so the veil of separation between humanity and the heart of God was torn. We can only stand in his presence tonight and worship. We can only feel his glory when he comes because of the precious blood of Jesus. It's not because we're Numa Church. It's not because we preach about revival. It's not because we're a prophetic people that his presence comes. It's because of his blood. It's because of his blood. And I think if we anchor our faith in that, we would see his presence come, because it's not by our shouting or our jumping that his presence comes upon. It's because he loves to fill a blood-washed bride. It's only by his blood. It's only by his blood. You could never open the door to fellowship with God. There is nothing you could do in your own strength. Only he can open the door for you to come and dine with him. It's only opened by his blood. Billy Graham said it like this. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, no right-minded person would have glorified anything so hideous and repulsive as a cross stained with blood. An unopened grave would never have opened heaven. But it was the blood of Jesus and an empty grave that opened heaven for you and for me. When Jesus shed his blood on the cross, it tore the veil, opening the door for us to enter in to communion with God. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. The blood of Jesus also has the power to completely and utterly transform a life. Completely and utterly transform a life. The blood of Jesus transforms us. I'll say it like this. The blood of Jesus is the very doorway into your new identity. Have you seen Narnia? Have you seen how those kids walk through that wardrobe and they walk in and they're different? Like something's changed. The world has changed around them. The doorway to your new identity is the blood of Jesus. It's not another prophecy. It's not another church. It's not another religion. It's not another denomination. The doorway into you walking in your new identity and fulfilling your destiny must be entered through the doorway of the blood of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and also 21 says this, those who are in Christ, in who? In Christ are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things become new. Verse 21 says, and God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus shed his blood with the desire to transform you. No longer a sinner, that would be buried, but a new creation, that you would become the righteousness of God. Turn to somebody beside you and say, you look like the righteousness of God. Amen. Because the blood of Jesus has the power to utterly transform your life. He makes us a new, what's the new creation? Jesus showed us the prototype in his life himself. He is the firstborn among many. He is the second Adam, the one in which we follow. You are being made and transformed into a new creation to live like Christ, that you'd be called his body. That's wild. That you would be called his body. It's wild that you'd be called the righteousness of God. I mean, I'm a mess some days, and Jesus calls me the righteousness of God. Whoa, that blood must be pretty powerful. That blood must be pretty special to transform a sinner and make them a saint. But so often I meet Christians who keep living like they're not transformed, like they're not a new creation. What that tells me is not that they're a bad person, but what that tells me is that they need a revelation of the power of the blood. What that tells me is the accuser has been in their ear and they've been living in this cycle of sin, living righteous and living holy unto God for a month and then boom, stumbling back into sin again. Can I tell you, friends, that Jesus did not die on the cross for you to be free from sin when you get to heaven? If you're waiting to die and get to heaven to be set free from sin, then death becomes your savior and not Jesus. Jesus died to save you and set you free now. Salvation, we get that word sozo, we know it means saved, healed, and delivered. Not when you get to heaven, saved, healed, and delivered now. He wants to transform you. There's no good waiting for you to get to heaven for him to transform you, because he needs you here on earth. He needs you to carry the hope of the gospel, the power of the Holy Spirit into the streets of Melbourne and across Australia and to the ends of the earth. He needs you to be transformed now. And it's going to happen. You're going to be set free from sin. Friends, I prophesy over you tonight. If you have found yourself thinking, I will never be free from this addiction, or I'll never be free from this sin, let me tell you, you will have a revelation of the blood of Jesus, and it will set you free. It will set you free. Because that is his desire for you. His desire for you is to live free so you could set others free. His desire for you is to be holy as he is holy. Not to be holy some days and then sometimes keep a little bit of sin that doesn't affect anybody and doesn't hurt anybody. It's just between me and the sin, and nobody else needs to know about it. It's not hurting anybody, and I'm a Christian and I'll tithe and I'll do all those things, but I'll just keep this little sin. Guys, we need to cut it out. I don't say this in condemnation. I say this in love, because you can be free. But we must realize, I think we forget how gruesome sin is. I think we forget how gruesome sin really is. There's a quote here by Major General William Bridges. I love this. He was a senior Australian Army officer who lived in the late 1800s and was instrumental in establishing the Royal Military College, Duntroon. And he served as the first Australian Chief of Officers. He said this about sin, about how gruesome sin really is. He says, if the guilt of sin is so great that nothing can satisfy it but the blood of Jesus, and the filth of sin is so great that nothing can fetch out the stain thereof but the blood of Jesus, how great, how tremendously terrible must the evil of sin be? That only the love blood of God Himself could remove it from our hearts. The Bible says, must Jesus be crucified again? Surely not. His blood was spilt once and for all. But friends, He loves you so much the way you are, but He does not want to leave you there. He wants to transform you. The Bible says, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Notice it says, if we sin, not when we sin. Because the presumption is that if you've been transformed by Jesus, you will not stumble into sin. But if you do, you have an advocate with the Father. If we sin. What do? If we sin, we come before Jesus and we say, sorry, Lord. Lord, I'm sorry. God, I repent for what I have done. Remove the stain of sin within my heart and fill me with the power of Jesus to live like you on the earth. Fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit to live like you on the earth. I've prayed that prayer so many times. There was times when I was battling with addiction and I would pray that prayer every day. Let me tell you, friends, God can set you free from smoking addiction, from alcoholism, from drug addiction, from pornography. You can be free. And there's many people in this room today who are walking testimonies of that freedom. The blood of the Lamb is how we overcome. It's how we overcome the accuser. It's how we overcome the lies of the enemy. It's how we overcome insecurities. When the enemy's lying to you and trying to convince you you're not worthy to feel His presence. When the enemy tries to convince you you're not worthy for that healing or you're not worthy for that miracle. It's the blood of Jesus that speaks a better word than the accuser and stands on your behalf and said, they're so worthy. You want to know, devil, how much they're worth? This. That's how He sees you. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word. The blood of Jesus has the power to transform your life. The blood of Jesus has the power to transform your generations to come. We've heard testimonies of people who have had generational abuse passed down after generation after generation after generation. But one family stood in faith, believing that the blood of Jesus is enough to cleanse their bloodline. And generational abuse stopped with that praying mother. We've heard testimonies of trauma that's been passed down in the blood. But someone stood in faith, believing the blood of Jesus is powerful enough to transform the bloodline. And we've seen whole generations be set free because someone chose to apply the blood of Jesus. And lastly, the blood of Jesus cleanses us, the blood of Jesus transforms us, and the blood of Jesus has the power to protect us. And I think we forget this one sometimes. The blood of Jesus has the power to protect us. When we were in Kenya recently in Africa, there's a tribe of the Maasai people. I don't know, has anyone heard of the Maasai people before? They're the African tribe that can jump like really high without bending their knees. It's incredible. They do amazing things. But we sat with this Maasai man and we heard this testimony, this story that baffled my mind. And he shared about how the Maasai, when they're young boys, a part of their coming to age ceremony and the thing that makes them a man is they have to head out into the wilderness and they have to slay a lion. They have to kill a lion. And it must be a male lion. And the bigger the mane, the more fierce the beast they've overcome and the more man they are. And so a young boy becoming a man goes out into the wilderness to go and slay a lion. And they must come back with the mane, the claws, and the tail as evidence that they slayed this beast. And they have people with them watching them, protecting them, and checking to see if they truly did slay a male lion and how it was and live to tell the story. The Maasai people are beautiful. They have these beautiful jewelry and big earrings and long necklaces. And they wear this beautiful red clothes, like a robe wrapped around their torso. They wear these beautiful red robes. And this man's telling me the story. And he says, it's so amazing. Because in Maasai villages or in Maasai lands where the Maasai people live amongst the wild animals, live amongst the lions, in those areas, you can walk through the wilderness past lions and they will not attack you if they see the Maasai red robe wrapped around your torso. They live in fear of the Maasai people because they've seen them and their ability to fend off and kill a lion. I said to him, so wait a second, are you telling me that I could wear a Maasai robe, wear the red and walk through a wilderness with another Maasai man wearing red and we could walk through a wilderness past lions and we would not be attacked? He said, absolutely, confidently, positively, yes. And my heart went, I'm like, this is a beautiful symbol of the blood of Jesus. This is a beautiful symbol of the blood of Jesus. I don't know about you. I'm very white, okay? Let's just put that out there. I was scared at the idea of that. I thought, I don't know if they would be scared of me. You know, I'm not super scared. I don't have cool earrings and a big sword and a staff and a spear and stuff. But man, really? And sometimes in the kingdom of God, Christians, we walk out there and we see demonic stuff happening around us and we go, oh, I'm going to go the other way. Or we see depression flood our workplace and anxiety flood our workplace. We go, oh, I don't want to be a part of that. That room's toxic, gross. Or we walk into rooms and life groups or churches and we go, oh, the atmosphere was off today. I don't know if I'll go back to that church again. But we're supposed to be the ones who wear the blood. We're supposed to be the ones that walk up to lions and tell them to know their place. We're supposed to be the ones that could see demonic stuff happening around us in our world and say, that doesn't belong in heaven. So I'm going to pray, kingdom come, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're supposed to be the ones that see sickness and don't go, oh, I don't want to get sick, but actually go, hey, I need to pray for you. In the name of Jesus, be healed. And you can have confidence when you pray. You can have confidence when you address demonic atmospheres because you, friend, are covered in a pure and holy, spotless, glorious, miraculous blood. That you could stand in the face of the enemy and not be shaken. That can only happen, not because you prayed 3 hours a day, but because you know how special, how wonderful, how powerful that blood truly is. How can we have confidence when we lay hands on the sick? Because our confidence is not in our ability to pray. It's in His blood's ability to wash them and set them free and release healing over their life. It's all in the blood. The blood is our victory. It's our victory staff that we hold up in front of the enemy and say, "You shall not pass." It's the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus. By His stripes we are healed. By His stripes we are healed. By His stripes we're free. And it could only be by His. No one else could have done it. No one else was pure and blameless and holy like He was. In Exodus, we hear of the Passover. Maybe, worship team, you could come and join me. In Exodus, we hear of the Passover. And we hear of the angel of death coming and striking down the firstborn of every household. But God gave wisdom to the people. And He said, for those who believe in His name, to slay an innocent lamb and to put its blood over three spots over the doorpost. And when the angel of death passes over, death will not strike that house because it will be covered by the blood. Thousands of years later, John the Baptist is baptizing people and he sees this beautiful man walking towards him and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the earth." And in a similar way, Jesus' blood was put on three points on the cross. And now his blood would touch the doorposts of your life, covering you, protecting you from sin, death, evil, shame, guilt, and condemnation. His blood, powerful enough to cover you, to protect your family. I had a feeling tonight that there's some people that, and you feel like you've been going through a bit of warfare lately. Maybe there's been warfare in your body and you've been wrestling with sickness. Maybe there's been warfare in your family and you've been contending over a family member's life. Maybe you've had warfare in your community and you've been wrestling with division. Whatever it is, I felt like there were some people here that are going through warfare tonight. And I felt the Lord say, "I want you to speak about the power of the blood of Jesus." And there's going to be people who have been in warfare and wrestling with something, maybe even addiction. You've been wrestling with it for a long time. But tonight, you're going to lift your faith and put it in the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus is going to be applied over the doorpost of your life. And the accuser is going to come knocking at the door and go, "They have the blood." I'm telling you, it's legit. I visited a church and this lady came and shared a testimony. She said, "Last week I was taking communion and I went home and I could hear screaming happening in my kitchen." She's like, "What is going on? I can hear screaming, like someone's screaming in my kitchen." And she said, "And one of her cupboards burst open and there was a demon in the cupboard screaming at her." She said, "I got a fright." Like, she was nervous. She went, "Whoa, what's going on?" And it screamed at her and said, "She has the blood!" And went boom and exploded. I pray that you would go back home and you would say, "Hey, devil, I'm covered in the blood. I'm covered in the blood. My children, they're covered in the blood. My church, it's covered in the blood. Numa Church is covered in the blood. My friends, they're covered. My workplace, I apply the blood of Jesus over my manager, over my spouse, over my cousins. I apply the blood of Jesus." And you watch the blood of Jesus set people free. When you believe, and not the blood of just any man, but it's the blood of a very, very special man. The blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our God. Has anyone here today experienced a miracle when taking communion? Raise your hand. Has anyone today experienced, I felt to ask this in this service, has anyone experienced a miracle before when taking communion? Raise your hand if you have. Okay. Praise God. Anyone up the back? I can't see. Nope. All right. Yeah, someone over there. Hey, aunties, how you going? Praise God. Received a miracle when taking communion. Well, I want to encourage you in this. When we hold this precious cup in our hand, may we not be complacent with it. When we hold the biscuit or the bread in our hand, may we not be complacent with it. Randy Clark says it like this: if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. But if you receive the body of Jesus as a cracker, you'll receive a cracker's reward. But if you receive a cracker as the body of Christ, you receive the body of Christ's reward. If you receive the blood of Jesus as the blood of Jesus, you receive the blood of Jesus' reward. When we hold this, may we not be complacent. I'm becoming more and more careful how I hold communion. If you don't have communion tonight and you want to join us, some of our ushers are walking around. Just wave your hand and they can help you. But I'm being careful where I place this. You know, I don't like to put my Bible on the ground because I honor the Bible. I try and put it on a chair beside me or in my lap. And I'm becoming more careful with the way I treat communion because I don't want it to be on the ground. The body of Christ does not belong on the ground in my life. It belongs on the throne of my life. And I love other Orthodox denominations that honor, they honor communion by making a throne in their hand for the body and blood of Jesus to sit on. And they create room in their hearts and they open their hearts for the body and the blood of Jesus to enter in. And tonight I pray that as we take communion, we would not just be putting our faith in juice and in a biscuit, but that our faith would go into heaven and access a blood that is still warm. That our faith would go into heaven and access a blood that wants to cover you and protect you and transform you and cleanse you from the inside out. If you need healing in your body, then as we take communion tonight, believe that the blood of Jesus by His stripes would make you whole. If you need freedom in your family, believe that tonight as you take the blood of Jesus, it would do a transformational work in you. So if everyone's seated, I'd like you to prepare your communion emblems tonight. Some of us try and open it quietly. I don't care anymore. I've been opening it really rough. But seriously, I did it once and I felt like it just reminded me of the body of Jesus being opened for us, torn open. And I like to break the biscuit as a sign of His broken body for us. Why don't we hold this in front of us and just become aware of the presence of the Lord? Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your body broken for us. By Your stripes we are healed. I thank You that we become one. Your body was broken so that we, the church, could become one. That Your name was dragged through the mud so that our name could be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That You wore a crown of thorns so that we could wear a crown of righteousness. We thank You for Your body. We take and eat in remembrance of Your great love for us. You can eat. And we hold the blood. Oh, the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, what a beautiful Lamb. I thank You, Jesus, that when we get to heaven and we stand face to face with You, we have a God that we can touch, a God that can hug us, smile with us, a God that we can embrace, a God that we can feel and see and know. I thank You that that's only because You opened the door to us by the blood that You spilt on the cross. I pray, Lord, let Your blood be applied to our lives, to our families, to our churches. We take it today on behalf of those we love. We declare today there is victory in the blood of Jesus. Death, where is your sting? And we drink the cup of victory tonight in Your name, Jesus. You may drink.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us that while we were still sinners,
He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.